You are now listening to Ride With Me, the Flatirony Podcast.
Welcome to Ride With Me, episode 62. Today is July 31st, 2021. And since I've been nothing but having TikTok guests, I decided to have another TikTok guest, my buddy Brian.
Hey, how are you?
What's up, bud? So, the last episode, I had a TikTok guest. Now I have you on. You're like my third TikTok guest.
I should have been the first.
Well, our buddy Gary beat you to that. Again, as I was talking, my wife was like, you know, you're going to have a podcast with a random person again? I'm like, well, not random, because I met him again watching one of his lives, and now we interact and talk on a regular basis, or freaking, he'll send me a message. Brian will send me a message, hey, I'm going to go live today at 6 o'clock, and usually that's around the time, my time, that I'm out riding my bike. Dude, I can watch and ride at the same time, bro.
Right. Right. Well, you don't want to watch this, but you can listen.
I listen. No, yeah, there's no. No, this they can listen to this on their bike, right? Paul, my buddy Paul does. My buddy Paul does listen to the podcast while out riding his bikes. But, yeah, no, one day I just caught on to your live, and then that was it. Just your story. You talk about pretty much relatable things, you know, when you're on your lives.
I try, yes, because I feel if you can't relate to people, nobody's going to listen.
Exactly. And then you have your regulars that pop on all the time, like Back to the Future Kelly. We call her Back to the Future Kelly because she refuses to watch Back to the Future.
She's never seen it, and apparently she never will.
Yeah, no matter what we've told her, she won't do it. So Brian's going to try to stream it one day in the background.
I think I've given up on that one.
And yeah, and like I said, and your sister watches the lives once in a while?
Occasionally, yeah. She works, whereas I play all day. So she has to get up early, so she doesn't always get on. But yeah.
So tell us, where are you located right now? I believe you're 3 hours ahead of me.
I am, yeah. It's I'm out near Charlotte, North Carolina, just outside of Charlotte. And so definitely East Coast. So coordinating this, I've wanted to hook up with you on a podcast for a while, but you know, time zone changes, it's complicated.
Yeah, I like to record my podcast in the morning because it's nice and fresh. Right now, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, at a 95 degree weather, I am dripping in sweat. So we'll try to get through this without dying.
I'm not fresh either.
Yeah, you got the fan blowing in the background though.
I do.
If I turn mine on, the microphone will pick it up. So. Your job, I consider it interesting. You are a pilot.
Yeah, I'm an airline pilot. Yeah, I have not worked a day in my life. So people call it a job. I just find it fascinating. I've been a pilot since I was a teenager, but I've been an airline pilot for 22 years, and I just find it fascinating that I get to do something so much fun, and then every 2 weeks, money gets deposited into my bank. So. I still haven't figured out how I've gamed the system, but it's a lot of fun. It's a great job.
On one of your lives, I jumped in and we did the live tick at the same time, just so you can talk to my son for a few seconds, because my son wants to be a pilot.
Right.
And I had him on there, and he was asking you some questions and stuff, and you were answering. That was pretty cool. But that's interesting, dude. That's pretty cool that you get to and you normally say, I'm just sitting here waiting for a phone call.
Yeah, so you can either have a schedule or you can be on call. It really depends on a lot of factors, but so I enjoy being on call because while I have to be within 2 hours of the airport, there are days, many, many days where I'm on call getting paid and the phone never rings. So I get to be home, I can go around town, I can run my errands, I can do my thing. If the phone rings, I got to go to the airport within 2 hours, but otherwise, you know, I can basically be home doing my thing and get paid for it. So this last week, for example, I was on call for 4 days, this last Monday through Thursday, and they never called, not any of those days. So I got to do my thing for 4 days, get paid for it, and not have to really go in. So that's cool, too.
So those videos on TikTok where it says, do you get paid for being on TikTok? You literally do.
Yeah. Oh, I don't TikTok while I fly, obviously, but I can be at home. Making TikTok videos and getting paid technically. Yeah.
No, that's good. That's cool. Like I said, man, I found that interesting that, and like you're a freaking air pilot, dude. Like I've only flown once, dude. I've only flown once.
One time ever?
One time.
Wow.
And that's because I won a trip to a spring training in Arizona. So that was 45 minutes there and 45 minutes back.
Right.
But ever since then, I told the kids, like, dude, we got to do this. We got to do this more often. It was pretty chill.
I mean, a lot of fun.
It would have been a 7-hour drive or a 45-minute flight. So
That's right. And it's something that I think people have become accustomed to and they take for granted at this point. You know, I think it was Louis C.K., the comedian. I'm not sure if it's politically correct to talk about him anymore, but he had a great bit where he was talking about being on a flight from New York to L.A. and this woman was complaining that her Coke only had 5 ice cubes or something, and he's thinking, lady, you know, you're sitting in a chair in the sky. You're going to be in across the country in 4.5 hours where people died making this trip 200 years ago. It took people 2 months to get there and people lost family members along the way. Like, just appreciate what you are able to experience here. So it's true. It's kind of become a normal thing.
5 ice cubes. Crazy. It's a trip what people complain about nowadays, man. It's a trip.
It's sad.
Yeah, I try, like I tell my wife and kids, I try not to let certain things bother me. Something so simple. Hey, you forgot the straw. Oh, well, then. The other day, I went and got me an horchata. I love horchata. And the lady couldn't find the lids. I'm like, don't trip. Watch this. Gone.
It's going to the same place.
Yeah, right? Don't even trip. No, it's sad what this world has come to lately with complaining and stuff. Like, I mean,
it is.
Like the other day, I saw a video of this lady accusing this gentleman for stealing her son's phone, and bro, the phone was in the car. And when it was proven the phone was in the car, the guy's like, "Well, am I going to get an apology?" And she was like, "F you!" Like, damn. And now she went and made a police report because this video went viral. She doesn't want that kind of bad publicity. Well, you put yourself in that situation. Yeah. The moment you saw homeboy recording, you shut up.
Yeah.
Shut
Behavior
up.
Behavior has consequences. Who would have thought?
Right? Right?
That's why you'll find, I mean, even on my TikToks, I never say or post anything that could be considered inflammatory or derogatory or insulting. Because my goal, number one, is to never be insulting. I mean, I have no desire to hurt anybody's feelings. But in this super sensitive kind of world we're in now, it doesn't take much. And the last thing I need is somebody, you know, and I never talk about what company, what airline I fly for or anything like that. But, you know, last thing I need is somebody to find something to go, you know what? The wind is blowing out of that direction today. I think I'm offended by this. And then complaints start happening and it gets out of
control. Somebody zoomed in to this lady's t-shirt that she was wearing. And at the very bottom, it said a certain hospital company.
Oh, yeah.
And now this certain hospital company is looking into which location this young lady works for. Because she might even get terminated because they're not going to tolerate that stuff. She's racially profiling somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So she might even lose her job. And hey, it's a trip because my wife was telling my kids the other day, she was talking to them about life. And one of them was, you know, you got to be careful you can't even honk your horn nowadays to the car in front of you. You got to be careful who you know, like all these road rage incidents lately because somebody cut somebody else off and all of a sudden they pull out a gun and start shooting. It's like it's getting ridiculous on what's going on. And the kids, like I said, my wife is like, you know, my boy is like, just honk at them, Mom. No.
Right.
You don't even want to do that anymore.
That's right. And it's interesting because I think it's all about perspective. And so I've tried very hard considering I have a 17-year-old son who is numero uno in my life, and I've tried to be a good example for him. And I've always thought, you know, I heard it somewhere decades ago, and I can't remember where I heard it from, but whatever situation you're in, whether you're driving or whether you're scrolling TikTok or whether you're watching videos, whatever, if you have an emotional response to something and you're just going to go off half cocked and have a reaction, the saying I heard was, it's absolutely free to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Hey, what a concept, right? Take a deep breath and ask yourself, is this really the hill I want to die on?
Right.
Is this worth it? You know?
So,
and 90% of the time it's not.
Right. It's not. Many, many moons ago, I used to take anger management classes. Yeah. Believe it or not. I took anger management classes, and the counselor that I had one day, he was from New York. So what do they do in New York? Honk, 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 honk.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made that mistake of doing that out here one day. He was like, I will never honk my horn again. He didn't like the outcome of him honking his horn. I'm like, dude, yeah, this isn't New York, dude. You can't pull that shit out here. And so, yeah, no, my wife is, you know, tells him, hey, you know, you can't even do that nowadays. I have a friend of mine, rest in peace, PJ, a few years ago, he was walking out of, I think, a liquor store. And because of the way he looked at, glanced at two individuals in their car, these guys followed him and shot up his car.
Oh, no.
And sadly, he passed away. And, you know, it sucks. And that's another example why we tell our kids is like, you have to be careful, you know, who you, you know, do that to. Like my son, for example, the little one, he's only 12, and he has a habit of rolling his eyes. And I checked him the other day. You're going to roll your eyes at the wrong person one day, and it ain't going to end well. So here I am, the one telling you to nip that shit in the ass now. Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sad that we have to have these conversations with them, but it's this our reality right now.
It is.
It's our reality.
I recently taught my son how to drive, and I had to explain to him, look, you know, kids tend to react to things emotionally. You know, it's kind of ready, fire, aim, you know? So I had to explain to him, look, you're going to get cut off, right? People are going to pull out in front of you. People are going to go 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. You know, people are going to cut into your lane without using their turn signal. Like you just have to move along.
Yeah.
Because if you waste all of your energy on this guy who just cut you off, you're not going to have any energy left to get upset with the next guy who's going to cut you off in 5 minutes from now. So you might as well just take a chill, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. Like I've gone through so much shit in life that somebody taking 10 seconds at a green light because he's probably on his phone, you know, I'm not going to honk my horn. I can wait. You know, it's a trip because I caught myself a few weeks ago, like kind of getting upset because I put new pedals on my bike and here I go. And down the street, not even a quarter mile, the pedal broke off. It snapped out. Like it wasn't, the lug nut wasn't on properly. So it fell out. And I was like getting upset. I brought the bike back and I was struggling. I forgot that the left pedal and the right pedal are two different, they twist differently, right? So I just can't take a right pedal and put it over on the left side because it won't screw in. So I'm getting pissed off. I'm getting upset. And then I remember a phrase that I heard once that said, you are where you're meant to be. So I just chilled and I just chilled. Why? Because if the pedal didn't fall out, what if I hit something or something, someone hit me with the car? I was, you know, it could have been my day to get run over by a car. So I check myself and I take that quote. I don't think Chucky Chan said it, or yeah, is it Chucky Chan? I don't think he said it, but I know that on 9/11, he had an appointment in the Twin Towers, but got sick and didn't go.
Mm.
So I take kind of what happened to him into consideration nowadays. Right. But I know I heard that phrase before. you are where you're meant to be. So if you're running late, you are meant to be running late. If you're stuck in traffic, yeah. And I take that from, like I said, I also can't honk my horn when I know I've caught myself touching the screen on the phone and then they honk at me, but I'm not going to.
Hypocrisy, I'm amazed. I'm allergic to hypocrisy. And so I break out in hives and get real rashes. And it's just, it's bad. But yeah, that seems to be a thing. I think I even did a video about how you can look over at somebody at a stoplight who's texting while they're sitting at the stoplight, and you're like, God, look at that. Look at that idiot. And then your phone rings and you reach for it and you're like, oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
And you're like, really? You know, no one ever stops to look in the mirror.
Yeah. Exactly. So my thing is, don't be a hypocrite. So,
right.
You know, right. I know sometimes I'm driving. I only make comments when I'm on the freeway and the person next to me is getting too close. And he's over the line. And I'm like, dude, what the hell, man? Get off your phone. But I obviously do when they're not looking at me, you know. If it's a really old lady, hey, woman, get off your phone. If it's this big cholo dude, I'm like, I'm not going to say shit.
Yeah, you gotta assess the situation real quick and determine whether or not you can win the fight.
You know? Exactly.
If you can win the fight, then I'll say something, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've never won a fight with a little old lady anyway, so I guess
no. Plus, they can't even hear me, so it's like I keep it to myself. Hey, lady, move out of the way. Nah, it does. That's the only time that it does bother me. Yes, I come to a red light, and I got one of those phone clips that I found on TikTok advertises it. It's called the Spider phone grip, whatever.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it actually works. It's pretty cool. I like it. So whenever I go rent a car, I take it with me because I'm obviously going to need the GPS, and I'm not going to pay an extra $10 for them to give me the GPS. So I just have my phone, and that grip really works. And I have it like hanging right there where my mirror is at. And so if I just and call, because looking down, I already got one ticket for being on my phone and a warning. And the second warning was no bueno.
You were where you were meant to be.
Exactly. Exactly. I was on the clock, too, so I got paid to get a ticket. That's when I first started kind of working for this company. And, boop, yep, boo. Aw, man. But, so, you are a single dad, right?
I am. Yes, I am.
And you've said in some of your story, your lives, that you get along with the mother of your son?
Very well. Very well, yes. We did not have the greatest end to our story, that chapter of our story, I should say. But, you know, we went and decided to work things. We realized that, you know, this relationship may be over, but we're co-parents for this child for the long haul. So there's some other circumstances behind that really facilitated our relationship kind of changing into something much more pleasant. Namely, her mother took my side.
Wow. You know what? Honestly,
during the divorce.
Honestly, been there, done that, bro. Like, it's a trip. I'm being handcuffed and on the way to jail. And her mom's like, what did you do to Andy?
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, I get what you're saying. I've been there, done that, bro.
Yeah, I remember very distinctly my ex-mother-in-law saying to her, you know, you're the one who kind of messed this up. So, you better make it right, kind of a situation. And then it wasn't maybe a year or two later, my parents and my ex-mother-in-law and some of my ex-in-law's family were over at my house for Thanksgiving, if that tells you anything. And I was upstairs putting my son to bed, and I could hear the conversation downstairs, and my ex-in-laws were leaving, and they were talking to my parents, and my parents had thanked them for being so good to me. And my ex-mother-in-law says, oh, it's nothing. We just feel like we got him in the divorce.
Nice.
Yeah. But that did facilitate us working to be good parents to our son, at least attempting to be good parents to our son. So,
no, and that's good. I mean, I do have an episode of, it's called, It Doesn't End at 2027, meaning my son turns 18 in 2027. Right. And, you know, it doesn't end there. Like, you're supposed to, you know, high school graduation, weddings, and whatever the case would be, if both parents are on the same page. You right. know, I tried to co-parent with the mother of my kids recently for about a year, year and a half, and one event changed all that. Like, I had to remind her, if you're not going to let go of the past and you're going to throw the past in my face, then you're not ready to co-parent. So you come hit me up when you are ready to eliminate the past, because you put me through hell where I almost ended my life, and you put me through hell where I almost ended my life, and here we are, me letting go of the past to co-parent for these kids. So when you're ready to let go of the past, give me a call. And because, like I said, it's like, okay, she's upset because she didn't get invited to my son's promotion. Dude, it was a 2-minute drive-through. What happens when the little one promotes in 2 years? What happens when the older one graduates in 4 years? What happens when the little one graduates in 6 years? It's only going to happen all over again. So until you let go of the past, I'm done. I'm not even – she called me the weekend that she had the boys, and she was venting about something, and I was like, okay, uh-huh. But how are the boys? But how are the boys? Do you need me to come pick up the boys? Because I guess she got into a fight with her girlfriend, and the cops were called, and she was trying to – so you can hear from me first. I'm like, but how are the boys? How are my boys?
That's priority.
Yeah. So I don't think she liked the fact that I didn't give a shit. I'm sorry. How are the boys? And like, she accidentally texted me saying, your son wants to come home. I was like, right now? Let's go. And she didn't mean it. She didn't mean to text me. She text someone else. I think she did that to see what I would do. Yes, I would come pick up my boys.
Of course.
But yeah, co-parenting, dude, like, again, I've said it over and over again. When you see people in movies doing what they're supposed to be doing with between, you know, two families or whatever, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially making the best out of an taking small bites out of the shit sandwich and maybe some salt and pepper to make it taste better. You know, you're just doing the best you can with the situation. And I feel like it's, you know, what happens between two people in a relationship should not be a burden for their offspring to carry. You know,
exactly.
So your kids don't know you as a husband. They don't know you as a wife. They know you as mommy and daddy. And so just because your home relationship situation changes, your role doesn't change in that. Your life may be changing dramatically, but you got to respect that person is still fulfilling their role.
Yeah.
No, you're not together. So, and it's not easy. Believe me, because, you know, in my job flying for the airlines, you know, I get locked into a 6-foot cubicle hurling through the air at 450 miles an hour for hours and hours at a time. You have conversations, and, you know, I hear conversations from co-pilots that I'm flying with that are going through really nasty, nasty. When I say nasty, I'm talking nasty divorces. You know, their wives cheated on them, and now they're taking them for 6, 7, 8 grand a month to maintain their lifestyle because they deserve it. And they're taking their kids, and they have taken, you know, it's just like, man, and turning their kids against them, you know, it's like, that's fine. If you're pissed, I get it. You're pissed. Like I said, taking a deep breath is free. What are you doing to those kids?
Yeah.
Their father can't afford a home now. Because you cheated on him, and now you're taking him for everything he's worth. What are those kids going to learn? What are those kids going to think of that situation? You know, so we work great together. We get along. We share some laughs. We always come together for him. We're flexible with each other, with our schedules. If her schedule changes, if mine changes, if she's got something special pop up, but it's my time, hey, take him. It's fine. You know, I'll catch up with him on another day. It's not, you know, so we're.
We were almost there. We were almost there, man. We were like that. But the thing is that the boys don't want to go. You know, that's a difference with my co-parenting over here, where I have to be the one, like I tell the boys, I'm the one that's being the monster by telling her, no, 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 you guys need to open up and tell her, well, we don't want to go, you know? And my son, who's the older boy, Nick, he's going to be 14 pretty soon, actually in a couple of days, he actually said, I feel bad. Whatever the situation was that weekend, he said, I feel bad for her girlfriend. So, because of whatever happened that day. And he tells me that he kind of wants to read what the court documents say. And I tell him, mijo, what your mom did to me is nowhere in those court documents. And he was like, Right. Oh, but you don't want to know, mijo. Like, you kind of see what she did today or this weekend. You don't imagine that to me multiple times. I guess, I'm not trying to bash the woman, but I guess she brought, Sancho over to the house with the girlfriend being there. So it's like she purposely went to go piss her off to start a fight. Probably hoping to get the girlfriend arrested or whatever the case would be. So the boys saw that and it's like, what makes you think that I'm going to allow you to even see these kids again?
Yeah.
You know, brought them to a hostile environment. You brought them to a, you know, the kids come first, number one, man. And now it's up to the boys if they want to go visit, because they're at the moment where, like, I don't know if I want to go back over there, Dad. I'm like, hey, just make the call and I make sure it doesn't happen.
Right.
I make sure it doesn't happen. So, yeah, no, we were almost there, bro. And then one event just threw everything off. But it's what it is, man. It's what it is.
That's right. You're always taking the high road, aren't you?
Exactly.
It's essential.
All it does is give me podcast material.
That's right. Something to talk about. That's right.
Something to talk about.
And the other part of that is the big responsibility that I felt as a dad to a boy, right, is the fact that, you know, my son is going to, whether I like it or not, he's going to view how I behave and what I say and do as an example. Like, he's going to learn from me, whether I like it or not, whether I even know he's watching. He's going to learn from me how to handle certain situations. And so whether or not at some point in his life, whether he ends up getting divorced or he breaks up with a girlfriend or whatever it is, you know, my goal is that he will have at least seen that, this may be ending, but it doesn't have to be ugly. He's never been in an environment where we've argued. We argued, but not about the, you know, relationship issues. It's healthy, I think, for kids to see an argument and a resolution to an argument. But, you know, he's never once heard me or his mother speak poorly of each other. You know, he's seen us come together for him. We go to basketball games and we go to events for him together and we get along. And so hopefully he'll learn that, hey, if this ever happens to me in the future, maybe he would have an example set for him that, hey, this doesn't have to be ugly.
And and that's the one thing that the reason why she kind of pushed herself away from the kids was because that's all she ever did was badmouth me. And then one day my son comes up to me, he's like, you're nothing close to the things that they've said about you. And so that's why, you know, she doesn't own up to her shit. She doesn't understand that she pushed herself away from the kids because the kids only, and I learned that a long time ago in my parent anger management classes, I've learned to never badmouth the other parent in front of the children.
Absolutely.
And, you know, for people to say, I don't listen, I listen to that one.
And, you know, and we've been divorced now. So he's 17. We got divorced when he was 5. So,
oh, wow.
12 years. Yeah, 12 years now. And, you know, I've never, the thought has come up occasionally. You know, I've been asked occasionally, does he know why you guys still got a divorce? Does he know what happened? And I said, nope. And it's not for a child to know that. You know, at some point when he's older and an adult, he's going to ask the question. I've always maintained I will, because I can't do it, but I will never lie to him, but I won't go out of my way to explain to him all the things that she did. And it's not, you know, I'm not going to throw her under the bus just so he has knowledge of what happened. It's not, what's the point?
Yeah, and I didn't have to, man.
He wants to know, he'll ask.
Yeah, and I didn't have to, dude. She did that all on her own, man. So,
yep.
like I said, you know, he knows this because, you know, and I've said it before, but this is a crazy one. You know, about maybe 2 years ago, I went over to my mom's house, and my brother was there. And for those that have heard of my podcast, they know what I mean, where I'm going with this.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm talking to my brother, and I'm squashing things with my brother, and, you know, hug it out with him. And like I said, hey, if I can have a conversation with the mother of my kids, I should be able to have a conversation with, you know, my blood. You're my brother, blah, blah, squash it out. We're heading home, and my son, the little one, they ask questions. They always ask questions. And the question was, why was my mommy's ex at grandma's house? Or her ex-husband at grandma's house. And I'm like, I'm not throwing her under the bus. I'm answering his question.
Right.
And the answer is, well, that's my brother.
Right.
And his response was, ew, that's disgusting. Right. Homegirl got pissed off, but hey, guess what? The child had a question.
Right.
And what am I supposed to say? I mean, I'm not going to lie to him. I don't know why he was here. The honest answer was, that's my brother. His reaction, was priceless.
I bet it was.
So,
that's a unique situation. So when we talk about taking the high road, I have a feeling you paved the high road. Because I don't know. I mean, my goal is to always do the next right thing. So whatever the situation is, I stop and think about, okay, if my son was watching, what example would I want to set for him? And that's how I'm going to behave in this moment. But the dynamics of your story with your brother and her is so, like, piercing, personally piercing to the heart. Like, I can't even fathom it. And the fact that you hugged it out and you took the high road, bro, you get mad props from me. I'll give you that.
Hey, man, like I say, my wife has taught me to be the bigger person. And, you know, she's always pushing me to be the better person, be the better person. I started to squash things with the mother of my kids because my wife always said, you know, even though she knew the stories, she's be the bigger person, be the bigger person. And yeah, that day he was there, and I'm like, oh, well, since he's here, let's have the conversation. And
it's a huge, huge piece of humble pie to have to swallow in a way.
Like she said, and she actually said it the day we went to the beach just recently. She even said it. She was because you were family, and you let go of the bullshit. You let go of the petty stuff. So,
yeah.
Hey, well, man.
Yeah, that's not always possible. Some people aren't able to do that.
Like, dude, like he told me. Here's the thing. Here's why. He told me, you know, anything I say or do can take back what I did to you. And my response was, what you did to me, I thank you. Why? Because what you guys did gave me custody of my kids.
Yeah.
You take a negative into a positive.
That's right.
You guys.
What a concept.
The day you two said I do, you handed me my kids.
Right.
It just cost me a lot of money, but but thanks. <Right. laughs> That lawyer wasn't cheap, bro. That lawyer. Right, great, babe. You found the one lawyer that charges about $400 an hour? Shit. Out of all the lawyers out there, you picked... No, but she did a good job. She did a good job. I hired her in October, and by March, I have full custody of the kids.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So
I got you beat, but that's amazing.
How long did it take your court process? Well, mine took longer because I was also fighting for a daughter that wasn't biologically mine.
So
that one took longer, and then, you know, but I ended up getting full custody of her too. But how was your divorce or your custody? How ugly was that?
It wasn't.
Oh, good.
So because of the monumentally heroic efforts of my mother-in-law, coming to my rescue. North Carolina is a little different. So in North Carolina, when one person is proven to not be faithful, they are not entitled to any alimony. They're not entitled to to your assets and all that stuff. So it's a little bit easier. I understand California is absolutely not that way. They're entitled to some child support if that's the case, but so she didn't get anything. I got a lawyer, and my lawyer said, well, there's a $1,500 consultation fee. I said, okay. So I tell the ex that, hey, I've got a lawyer. I recommend you get a lawyer. And she goes, well, why can't we just use your lawyer? And I said, we can. But you know, you're going to probably want to get a lawyer. Just, you know, she says, no, let's go talk to your lawyer. I said, okay. So we went in and spoke to my lawyer. My lawyer was saying, okay, this is the situation. You have to establish a separation date that is 1 year prior to being able to file the divorce papers. So, okay. So my lawyer said, ma'am, you know, what are you asking for? And she said, well, can I have my hope chest? to which I promptly said, absolutely. And then she said, how do you want to handle custody? And we looked at each other and I said, 50-50 is fine with me. You know, I'll have him when I'm home, not flying a trip, and you can have him when I'm out of town flying a trip. She said, yeah, that'll work. And my lawyer stopped us and said, ma'am, you do understand that I represent his interests. She says, yeah, I understand that. And he said, well, that'll be $1,500. And I looked at her and I said, do you want to split it? She said, okay. So she wrote me a check for $750 to split my lawyer fee. And the lawyer said, okay, well, you have to be separated for 1 year in order to process a divorce. So what was your separation date? And I said, can you put down any date? He goes, oh yeah, any date, whenever you guys got separated. And I said, how about a year ago? And he said, okay. So he wrote down 1 year ago today, they were separated. So the year was up and he submitted the paperwork. Nice. And I think it took 5 weeks, I think, for the judge to stamp his little approval on the paperwork, and it was done. I mean, literally, I feel almost bad telling that story because I got it so easy. Like I was saying earlier, I fly with guys who
don't.
It's been 5 years. They've spent 80 grand. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, now I want 50% of your 401k, and I want you to sell the house, and I want 50% of the equity, and I, you know, and there's all this tug of war stuff going on, and the custody stuff. Holy cow, you would believe what I heard. So I'm almost a little hesitant to tell my story because it was so easy.
Well, you started already. Yeah. No, those child custodies are ugly. Like I said, I the first time I went to court, it was in 2009. And a year later court, until, like I said, my wife one day was like, nah, this is enough. Like, this is enough. And she found, like I said, she's the one that found the lawyer that took care of, that she wouldn't even take your case unless she felt that your heart was in the right place.
Right.
And, the day that they signed over the kids, that I won the custody of the boys in court, I started crying. And my lawyer hugged me and told me in my ear, this is why I do what I do.
Nice.
And it was pretty good. And I mean, my buddy, well, he's my buddy now. He doesn't represent me anymore, so we're considered friends now. My buddy Ian Tossing, he was my private investigator. I had to get a private investigator too, bro. Mm-hmm. So he was my private investigator. Yeah. He was my private investigator, and he pretty much gave us, if you, like I said, I don't know if you listen to my podcast, but check out episode 9. That was him, man. The way he tells the story, dude, is awesome.
Yeah. Now, here's a question for you.
What's up?
The private investigator that you got, when you called that person, did they act super shady from minute one?
You know what? He was honestly honest with me. He was honestly honest with me. Months later, the day that I was on the phone with him, I was telling him, you know, she did this, she did that, she did this, she's doing this. And he was like, in the back of his mind, yeah, okay, heard that one before. Yeah, okay, pal. You know, so maybe, right. Yeah, maybe, yeah. So,
well, I called the private investigator because I needed the evidence, and when I got the number, from my lawyer, actually.
Same here.
I called the number.
Same here.
Yeah, I got the number. And when I called, the phone answers and I hear, hello. You know? And I'm like, yes, I'm calling for a private investigator. Yes. okay, are you a private investigator? Yes. Okay. Well, you know, and it was like he was being super covert, spy, shady, you know? I called around to a couple of them, and they were all the same way.
Not like, this guy. No, sure. Not this guy. This guy was chill. Nah. Not like that. Not shady weird. Like that.
Very weird. And, you know, it's even funnier. My mother-in-law went with me to the private investigator.
Oh, shit. So, you did have it easy, dude.
Man.
I fucking envy you now.
I'm much more fortunate than I deserve, I guess.
No, yeah, you're one of the lucky ones, I guess. You know,
yeah.
when I came home, when, like, literally all my friends were waiting for my text message to say full custody, and the moment I said that, dude, a party was like, dude, 1 point for the dads, it's about time, and blah blah blah. It's just, it's
right.
It's true, man, because LA County, I mean Ventura County, they favor the moms most of the time.
Yeah.
So,
I heard this.
So, you know, yeah, it was a party, and it was like, you know, it felt good. It felt good, and now I got to deal with their mood swings and shit. I had to check my little one the other day. Do you want to go? You know where? No. Okay, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, dude.
Right.
So, yeah, no, it's a blessing having him here. I love it, man.
I agree.
Plus,
I just feel better when I know that he's my son's in the house. I mean, he's
right.
Like, I go to bed sometimes. I gotta get up early and fly or something. And, you know, he's at work. He works now. He's got his license and he works at a pizza place. And you know, I will kind of not sleep well until I hear him come in the door, in the front door. And he always, even if I'm sleeping, he'll always come in my room, give me a hug, and say, hey, you know, love you, good night, kind of a thing. So then I sleep like a baby.
Well, yeah.
No, that's not true, because I'm not up every hour crying, but I sleep like a rock. So yeah, it's just knowing he's under the same roof just gives me a sense of comfort, because I just, you know, my favorite human.
I think this is the part that made my wife kind of like just look for a lawyer. Was the day, it was like the visits before were Friday, Saturday, I take him back Sunday. Friday, Saturday, I take them back Sunday. Monday, I'm okay. Tuesday, I'm okay. Wednesday, I'm missing my kids, dude.
Right.
You know, and then Thursday and Friday. By Friday, I'm like, I can't wait to freaking go get them, go get them, go get them. You know what I mean? and then one day, it was, I went to go, again, drama at the house. She called me to go pick up the kids, and I ran to go pick them up. It wasn't even my visit time, but because the drama was going on, I went to go grab them, and I'm holding my kids, and this is heartbreaking, but this is where I'm holding my son. I'm crying with him, dude. I'm crying with him, and he says, "My mommy doesn't love me."
Oh.
So that's when my wife's like, "Bullshit! You need to get full custody of these kids, Andy. You need to get on top of it." So if anybody pushed the kids away, she did it to herself. But she'll never see that. She'll never see that. It's always
right.
I'm the asshole. I'm the bad guy. But
that's right. And you know what? That's a good point, because when I was going through the last 12 years, I've always maintained I will never speak poorly of his mother. If that relationship between him and her is going to get ruined, it's going to be because of her, not because of me.
Exactly.
Right? Now, granted, I'm thankful it didn't get ruined. I mean, she's had her moments, but certainly, you know, I'm thankful that she's his mother, you know, so. But I did not want to be the reason, because I felt like if I were the reason, if I spoke poorly of her and I were the reason that he had a terrible relationship with his mother, eventually, at some point in the future, he's going to blame
mm-hmm.
me.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. I don't want to cut you off, but yeah, I was pointing at you.
Yep. No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
He's going to blame me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like the question the other day on your last live, but the question was, what would you change about your past or something, or stay away
mm-hmm.
from, you know? And honestly, it's like, you can't wish that. And when you're going through hell and back, and this individual is just putting you through hell where you just fucking hate the world and stuff. And you think back now, if I would have told myself that day, if I can go back and tell me, hey, don't go into that house today, bro, because you'll never come out.
Right.
But if my kids came out of that door, how can you take that? You can't. You can't go warn your younger self about an event that hasn't happened, because then your kids won't be here. And I honestly believe my kids saved my life. say it to this day. I feel that I've become more responsible because I have them.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think I mentioned on that video or that live that, you know, as miserable as my marriage ended up being, I would never change it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what I went through in that marriage is my payment to have my son. So that's fine. It was a payment. It was a check I was happy to write. and if I were to go back the day I met her and try to warn myself, you know, I wouldn't do it because then I wouldn't have him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say that all the time, man. I say that all the time. My kids ask me too. They're saying, if you can go, you know how they play games. And like, if you can go back in time, Dad, what would you do? And before I'd be like, oh, your mother. You know, like in my head, I'm like, your mother. And now it's like, I'll play along with their game. Cause like I said, one day they asked me that question and they were saying like little goofy things. And I'm like seriously thinking about it. They're like, Dad, it's your turn, Dad. I'm like, hold on. I'm thinking. Like, I'm really, they're just messing around on the kitchen table and I'm really thinking. You know, like, oh, no, I wouldn't do that. No, whatever. Dad, it's just a game. Hold on. You know, but I do think of my daughter because, you know, I did put up with a lot of shit for her as well. That she, you know, they say a kid's heart, mind, their mind and their heart harden at a certain age. And that's who they're going to become the rest of their life. So my response was, the day that Layla broke, that day that my innocent child turned into what she is now, you know, like that day, you know, because now it's like, you know, I don't have the best relationship with my daughter anymore. And I don't want to say it was all for nothing, but I, at least I can say, and it was my wife's cousin who told my wife the other day, Andy didn't feel any guilt or didn't cry or wasn't sad because Andy can say he didn't try.
Right.
That was like very educated answer that she had. Like, Andy, because they asked her, hey, how's your daughter? And blah, blah, blah. And my wife said, well, we don't talk to her right now, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of gave her the insight. And then she said, and like, you know, and Andy, how's Andy taking it? He's Andy's like, whatever. Andy's like, whatever. And then, like I said, her cousin had the best, you know, very smart answer to that. Like, very smart, educated answer response to that was, well, Andy doesn't feel like that because I'm assuming because Andy did. He can't say he didn't try. So.
Right.
And I did. But what do you call it? You, just topics and topics coming to mind. And you can answer. You don't have to answer. But how are things with you and your stepmama?
Oh, boy. So yeah, about that. not good. Yeah. So yeah, they out of nowhere, you know, I think, I don't know how much of the story you heard, but
I heard part of it. And it's like, when I'm listening to your story and it's like, it reminds me of my upbringing, you know?
Right.
But you won't do what I did. To me, it's like, deuces, I'm gone. Let's go. Cut people off. I'm out. But you're having a hard time letting go.
I am struggling. So my biological mother, my mother, she passed away when I was six. So my dad met this lady when I was in high school. So she's been in the family for, I guess, 29 years now. So she's been in the family almost five times longer than my real mother was ever in my family. So that I knew. So she's a very difficult person to love. I do love her. I she's been in the family a long time. So, but she's one of these people that, you know, in many, many ways is very toxic because she has a memory like a vault that she can, like a filing cabinet, she can pull out at any given time what I said to her on October 7th, 1998 at 4:30 p.m. and tell me how pissed off how much I hurt her. So that's a tough one to deal with. So it's a life on eggshells. We'll put it that way. And so, you know, if anybody that knows me knows that being truthful and honest is the absolute foundation with which I get up and put my feet down on the ground with every day. So, to keep the Crib Notes version of this, they thought that I lied to them about something that I did. And now it's they're just absolutely devastated that I have monumentally violated their trust and that I have fundamentally changed their relationship when all I did was get answered the phone when they called. So I tried to explain to them, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't do what you said I did. I seriously have no idea where this is coming from. My stepmother is judge, jury, and executioner. And so it got to the point where I tried very hard to be conciliatory at the very least. And I tried to come to the middle ground and try and find a middle ground without conceding to doing something that I didn't do, which is a very hard position to be in. How do you help somebody overcome something that it's like proving something that never happened, you know? How do you prove something that never happened? There's all these videos on TikTok. Prove to me that God doesn't exist. Well, it doesn't work that way, you know? Prove to me that you didn't, have relations with farm animals. Like, you can't do it. It just doesn't work that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You can't prove something that never happened because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So I tried very diplomatically in many ways, but you can only poke a bear so many times. And I have a very long, slow burning fuse, before I get upset with something, because I feel like I'm fortunate to have a very kind of keen perspective on things.
Oh, dude, I go from 0 to 10 in seconds. So let's say it takes you longer.
I don't, but it ended up being about being accused. Every time the phone rings, you're being accused of being a liar, which is a fundamental attack on my principles, my core values, really.
Boom.
So it got to the point where, and when I get mad, even when I'm mad, I will never say something that I regret. I will never get nasty. I don't call names. I don't say anything I regret. When I get mad, I just get to the point honest. And I may be a little loud about it. I was a little loud with my stepmother, but I would tell her to this day that, I will not apologize for what I said, because what I said was the absolute God's honest truth. I could apologize for maybe my tone, because she pushed too far, you know?
Yeah.
And ooh, congratulations, I'm human. So, we have not spoken. It's been 3 weeks we have not spoken. And my father, my stepmother is a very dominant personality, and my stepmother is probably not the most fun person to live with. And my father is a very non-confrontational, I guess I should say. So he has been, essentially very, meager about this whole thing. He won't fight back. He has never taken our side with anything. Always sides with her because he's got to live with her. So I think what spun her off, and I don't know if the parents hear this from their children very often, but I told my father and her that I was very disappointed in them.
And I don't
think kids say that to their parents very often.
No, I was about to say that. Like, Mike, when you tell your kid that, what'll catch your kid's attention is when you tell them that you are disappointed in them. Yeah. And when you flip the card on your parents, that's a trip. Like,
yeah, I've never done that before, and it just came out. And I wasn't lying, and I wasn't saying it to be mean.
No,
I was about as smooth pissed off as you can get. I basically told her exactly what the problem was, and the problem's not me.
No, yeah.
But you're also, I also recognize I'm dealing with someone who is perpetually the victim and has never, been wrong a day in her life. So, she's always the victim. And so that conversation didn't go well.
Yeah, I've dealt with that my entire life, bro. I've dealt with that my entire life when it's like, at one point, example, I'm a kid, right? I think I said it before. I'm a kid. Cops get called because I think we broke a window or whatever. And my mom comes out and she's like, nope, those weren't my kids. Those were my kids. My kids didn't do that. No, no, no. My kids didn't do that. And I'm like, but how do you know? How do you know? You weren't even home. We were right. The ones. What if we did break that window? What if we did break that window? I'm not saying we did, but what if we did? Right. And yeah. I think one day, again, cops were called, and she was like, well, I don't know. I wasn't home, so I, you know, and I don't know if my kids did it or not. And a police officer actually told her, that is the best answer I've ever heard a mother say. And I was like, yeah, you know, like, it's, she, you know, like, I'm not really speaking to my mom at the moment because I eliminate myself from negativity, man. I just don't want to hear it. Yeah. And, you know, back in like November, September, whatever, October, my sister, who I haven't seen in 12 years, bro, 12 years, at 18, because of the same situation that we grew up in, she bounced, dude. She took off. She's closer to you than she is to me, dude. She took right. off. I think she moved to Illinois, and she, at 18, didn't even look back. Now she has a family. She's married. She's got a couple kids, and she's doing really good. She just bought a house recently, so she's doing way better than what she would have been doing out here. And so I'm talking to her. I'm like, hey, you know, well, you know, Christmas is coming up, and you guys said you guys have a vacation coming up. Are you guys want to come down here? We have a spare bedroom. You guys can stay, you know, yeah. in the spare bedroom instead of staying in the hotel. And because we grew up the same way, she is like, you know, doesn't want to overstay her welcome. A brother of mine came recently. He's like, I don't want us to overstay my welcome like that, because my mom always overstayed her welcome. And so we try not to overstay our welcomes. And I'm like, nah, no, worry about it. Your family, you're my sister. I haven't seen you in a while. Come on, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So my mom got pissed off because we offered her the room and she was considering coming here. And then my mom's house is, you know, there's no space. My mom sleeps in the living room. She has her bed in the living room. So right. how are you going to offer your daughter, who hasn't visited California in 12 years, your floor? There's no right. room. So I'm like, to avoid any more misunderstandings, which I knew the right. truth, to avoid any more misunderstandings, I ended up creating a group chat with my mom and my sister. This is what the plan is. You are welcome to stay here. Doesn't mean you have to stay here, but the doors are open.
Right.
Okay. This is, again, October, November of 2020. My mother goes and visits my sister in March of 21. I have a conversation with my sister there in May of 21, my birthday. I'm talking to my sister, and my sister brings up the whole Christmas thing. That was like 5 fucking months ago. Are you serious? She's still bringing it up?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. You have to be. So I talked to my sister on my birthday that morning that my mom called a few hours later. I have not physically have heard my mother's voice since March, because I don't want to hear it, because I'm going to get pissed off. Because I'm going to get pissed off. Hey, ¿qué pasó? I'm a little busy. What was going on? Oh, I was going to wish you a happy birthday. Oh, okay. Thank you. I get a phone call on Father's Day. Oh, hey, what's going on? I'm kind of jumping in the shower. What's going on? Oh, I just wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. Okay. Oh, thank you. I honestly, dude, again, like I said earlier, if you can't let go of the past, we can't move forward.
Right. And I've mentioned that to my stepmother 1,000 times. And the funny thing is, remember we were talking earlier about hypocrisy?
Yeah.
So we have – I have an older sister. I have two sisters. The oldest one was kind of the black sheep of the family for a decade.
Yeah, I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like.
But it was through some kind of mutually hurtful things that have been said back and forth between her and my stepmother. And so, but my father is now 86 and, you know, he's falling occasionally. And I'm not sure how much time we have, you know, and it's an unfortunate thing discussion to have, but the entire last year, my stepmother has been preaching to me and my other sister, life is short. You don't have much time with your father. You know, he wants his family to be together before he passes away. He, you know, you have to let things go. You can't hold on to the past. What's in the past is in the past. You have to move forward and start just one step at a time. And you have to just, they're your family. You can't just turn your back on family. This was her preaching for the last year. So fast forward to 3 weeks ago when she's telling me how much of a liar I am and how she refuses to get over it. I finally told her, you know, I was explaining to her that she's the cause of this problem. And she yells at me, legitimately yells. I don't try to embellish these kinds of stories, but she literally yelled at me, what do you want from me? And I said, you know, I want you to take your own damn advice and let it go. I want you to move on. I want you to drop it. And I'm not going to serve a life sentence for this, you know, but you need to let it go. You know, oh, she did not like that, because she can't let something go if she's the victim. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So exactly.
It's been a rough one.
Sounds like your stepmom and my mom are kind of alike. And actually, let's throw in the mother of my kids in there, too. Yeah.
Yes. It's not good. And, you know, I don't know how much time I got left with my dad. And they live in a different state anyway, but I don't know how much time I got left. And it's like, I don't want to give up on that relationship, either of them, because I feel like, yeah, you're family. Now, the other interesting thing is my stepmother told me she does not love unconditionally. Now, she has preached to me for decades that I love you like a son, like you're my own. She never had any kids of her own, so I love you like you're my own. And then she tells me, I do not love unconditionally. Love is a verb. Love is what you do, not what you say. So I said, you don't love unconditionally? So if I upset you one day, you don't love me. Okay. Very good. That's good intel. Because now I can set the tone going forward. Like, I got to live on eggshells here, because if I don't say or do the right thing every day by you, tomorrow you may not love me. Yeah. Well, that's great. Thanks for sharing. You know, I will set my expectations appropriately from this point forward. You know?
Oh, man, I like I said, I know how that. I mean. She's your stepmom, but I know what it feels like not to be loved by your own biological right. mother. So, yeah. I mean, and it is what it is. I've learned to accept it, and I've learned to be, like I said, my brother's been coming to visit a lot recently lately. And he saw that he was here on a Friday, and he got here on a Thursday. I lied. He got here on a Thursday. So Friday morning was payday, and I'm on this Excel sheet that I have on the wall. And I'm crossing off, okay, direct deposit, this one got paid, cross it off. This one got paid, cross it off. And then, okay, in 2 weeks, this one's due. So I go and I, you know, auto deposit from my bank, and I do a little mark. And what does those marks mean? Okay, the little black mark means that that one's already automatically directing from coming out of my paycheck, coming out of the bank. That's easily. That is set on its own. When I mark it myself with the pencil, that's reminding me that I already auto-deposited that one on my own. And it's like explaining the sheet. And he's like, so you're telling me if our mom did this her whole life, we would have never got evicted all those times? Bingo. Wow. Bingo. Wow. So.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, hey, man, I've learned everything that I know about parenting from my wife, the unconditional love especially one. And my daughter's driving me crazy. What does she say? Unconditional love. All right. Well, she screwed us over this last time. What are you going to say about that one? She made her bed and lay in it. Boom.
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 Right. That's perspective. I'll give you that.
Yes, sir. But, man, we talked about your parents. We talked about your son. We talked about you being a pilot. I think I can figure out a positive outcome or message from you out of those. You did.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be positive. You know, it's all about perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
you wake up above dirt, you know, let's make today the best day we can.
There you go. There you go. Well, Brian. Thank you for being a sport, for coming on, and the confusion earlier about how to add you on Facebook and stuff. And, you know, like I said, I said it from the beginning. I welcome anybody, and you took me on the challenge. So,
yeah, I guess I'm anybody.
There you go. I welcome anybody, and I'll see you on your next live. And next time I go on my bike ride, I'll let you know. And Brian, like I end every podcast, buddy, thank you for riding with me.
It was a pleasure to ride you.
Thank you for listening to Ride With Me, the Flat Tire Indie Podcast. You can also listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.